And that's what an alien sounds like.
Hi, I'm Jessie.
And I'm Erica. This is the Paranerds Podcast. Welcome back. We are your ghost hosts.
Ghost hosts?
Yeah.
Ghost. Well, I don't want to be a ghost. I want to be a witch.
Well, as we learned in the last half episode, you are.
I might be a witch.
I believe it.
I hope so. Maybe I'm a witch, but I'm just very, stupid. So I'm just a really bad witch. I'm bad at it.
So almost like the short film that Andy and I have been doing, Murder Virgin, except, like, instead of being bad at murder, you're just bad at general witchiness.
Yeah, I'm just not good at it. I like that.
Yeah. So you've got something to start me off with.
I do. Last week we talked about Point Lookout in Southern Maryland, and I said that I would ask my mom if she had any ghost stories from when she was a ranger there, and I did.
Yeah?
I did. Wait, let me pull up my notes. I didn't do that yet.
We don't believe in being prepared.
Do you? Never mind, I'll get back to that later.
No, you're fine. We're allowed to have giggles. It's all good.
Okay.
I'm just saying, regardless of what you have to say, that lighthouse to me is haunted as fuck.
Yeah, I've never been in the lighthouse, so I don't know.
I've never been in it, but I've been close enough to it to feel like, yeah, we gotta go during the day.
I think it might be closed for, renovations or something right now.
We'll look into it.
Last time I went there, it was, fenced off.
It's been that way for a long time.
Oh, no. But last episode, when I was editing it, I realized at the beginning of the episode, we talked about ghosts running in front of cars. And I was like, oh, I have a story about that. And then I never told the story about that because I forgot. In Point Lookout, there is a ghost that has been seen multiple times when people are exiting the park. And for your reference, the park is basically one really long kind of windy, just two-way road that goes all the way through it. So when they're exiting through this road, through the forest, they'll look in their rearview mirror and they'll see what looks like a Civil War soldier limping across the street.
Nope.
I know. And when people have mapped it out of where he's coming from, it looks like he's coming from the hospital that was there. So it's theorized that he might have been someone who was trying to maybe he was a POW who was trying to leave the hospital and he was injured or limping for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm not about that. I'm one of those people that feels the need to have the cabin light on inside my car before I get in it at night. Because I'm afraid there's going to be someone in the back seat.
Oh, yeah. I check every time. Yeah. I peer in the trunk. And then when I get in the driver's side, I just turn back, quick check. And then later when I'm singing really loudly in my car, I'm like, what if there was a kidnapper in here? And I'm just out here screaming and he changed his mind. He's like, I don't want to kidnap her anymore.
She's weird. Well, that's a good defense mechanism. She's crazy. I don't want to touch that. What? Just so I have to hear this bitch sing an ABBA?
That would be me.
Yeah.
But my mom at Point Lookout, she herself, I think she's like me in that she is not spiritually sensitive because she said she did not feel weird at all in Point Lookout. She never got the creeps. She never saw anything weird. But she did tell me that the campers, after they were camping, would come up and she's heard the multiple stories from different people that were camping in Point Lookout. And so Point Lookout was a POW camp. And like we said last episode, a lot of people died there from freezing. Everyone was in tents. They were very undersupplied. So in the mornings, the Union soldiers that were running the camp would come by, and to check that everyone was still alive, they would like hit them with the butt of their guns from outside the tent. Just be like, bam, bam, like hitting them to see if they still, you know, if they wake up. And if they don't, they'll drag them out and bury them, because it was so prevalent of people dying in their sleep. Mm-hmm. And these campers would tell my mom that they would wake up to like a sharp like pain either in their like leg or in their shoulder or whatever part of their body was like nearest to the outside of the tent.
What?
Yeah. Like multiple people told her the same story. Like one guy's like, yeah, I woke up because some guy like hit me in the foot and there was no one outside the tent.
But does she believe?
She believes for sure. She's like me too, where I'm like, I don't have any ghost stories from my own self. Like I've never seen a ghost, but so many people have told me ghost stories, and there's so many stories out there, and there's so many stories of people who have never met who have the same story. Like, it's not a coincidence.
No, it would be a coincidence if it were maybe five people, but when you're talking about like dozens on dozens of folks, all right, that don't know each other, telling your mom the same thing,
right?
Well, I'm making it's the numbers like, up, but you know what I mean.
The like you've heard about shadow people, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow people, for those who don't know, are thought to be a certain type of apparition that is made by a negative or demonic type of spirit. And there was this, I don't know the entire story, but someone on a radio podcast like called in and they were talking about ghosts, and this person called in and was like, I saw what just looked like a giant shadow that looked darker than the nighttime outside it. Somehow it was darker than the darkest thing I could think of. And I saw it, and it like was the silhouette of a person and ran away. And I don't know anyone else who has seen this. And then all of a sudden, this radio station just was flooded with calls. Everyone's like, oh my God, I saw something like that too. And I thought I was the only one.
This is why we don't take calls from you people.
We'll take emails.
We'll take emails. They're not as scary.
Well, I can prepare myself for an email. Yeah. Be like, I'm ready to hear about ghosts.
It's time to talk about aliens.
Ooh.
So here's how it's going to go. For context, I need to take you from A to B to C. So we're going to start with Roswell. And I'm figuring, Jesse, you've heard of that.
Roswell? Yeah.
The Roswell incident.
When I wrote my notes for this episode, I spelt it wrong, and I wrote Rousel.
Razzle?
Rousel.
Rousel.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know, but I'm not changing it.
Okay, so Roswell slash Rousel.
Can I tell you like what I know about it? Because I've heard this story a million times, a million different ways. So whatever reason, in the back of my head, this is how it goes. A farmer saw an explosion and he went and picked up some metal, and then the military freaked the fuck out about it. And then they were like, no, we didn't. That's my summary of Roswell.
You got a lot of the major puzzle pieces in there, and I'm kind of proud of you. Kinda, sorta. Okay. So context-wise, when did this happen? Do you know? Like, if I were to ask you, when do you think this happened?
1950s.
Close. 1947.
Okay.
So, close enough. But
after World War II.
Yes. Dawn of the Cold War.
Right.
The U.S. Army Air Forces sent out a press release announcing they'd recovered a, in air quotes, flying disc from a ranch near Roswell. So my thing is, I always thought this happened in the town of Roswell. No?
No, it was out. Well, didn't they bring it into Roswell?
We're getting there.
Okay.
75 miles north is where this farm was. And you're right, it was a rancher. His name was Mac Brazel.
Mac Brazel.
Brazel. Brazel, sure. This occurred during a severe summer thunderstorm. Several stories about flying saucers had already appeared in national press that summer, and that alone, I feel, could possibly make me feel a bit skeptic about it, because if all these stories are popping up in the news, who's to say that this isn't like...
See, I feel the opposite way about that. I feel like that just confirms that it was a flying saucer, because there were multiple witnesses in the area at the time who were like, I saw a flying saucer, and then all of a sudden a rancher's like, there's one in my yard.
Well, that's how he felt, supposedly. Seeing all those stories in the news, he saw this wreckage and was like, oh, maybe that's what it is. And the wreckage itself included rubber strips, tinfoil, and thick paper. The thick paper what? Thing kind of threw me off. Yeah. So he brought some of that material from the wreckage to Sheriff George Wilcox of Roswell. So he did take it into town to be like, here, what is this? I think it might be a flying saucer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sheriff contacted Colonel William Blanchard, the commanding officer of Roswell Army Airfield. Now, the next day, the airfield released a statement writing that the many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday when the intelligence office of the 509th Bomb Group of the 8th Air Force, Roswell Army Airfield, was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc through the cooperation of one of the local ranchers and the sheriff's office.
Okay.
So originally, they were like, hell yeah, like, this is a thing.
Well, so you said it was tinfoil, paper, some other crap. Mm-hmm.
And rubber strips.
Who said it was that? Was it the guy who found it, or did the military say it was that?
It's hard to tell from the sources I was looking at. Okay. I'm imagining that's what the farmer saw.
Okay.
But who knows, because it was a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure all these people are since dead.
Continue. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So according to that statement, Major Jesse Marcel, an intelligence officer, oversaw the investigation of the crash site and the recovered materials. Mm-hmm. And now this is where it gets into the military freaked out. The soldiers fanned across the field, gathering mysterious debris and whisking it away in armored trucks.
Ooh.
Like, could you imagine if you're just this rancher with your property, your farm, and all of a sudden all these armored trucks are like, we need to take this away. How would you feel?
Well, if it was a flying disc.
Well, and I want to see pictures. Like, how do they know that it was a disc? I guess if they pieced it together afterwards.
I don't know.
Okay, so from that point on, the government changed its story about the Roswell saucer. The following day, the Roswell Daily Record ran a story about the crash and the astonishing claim, but U.S. Army officials quickly reversed themselves on that claim, stating that the found debris was actually from a weather balloon. Releasing photographs of Major Marcel posing with pieces of the supposed weather balloon debris as proof. Now, here's where it jumps into Hangar 18. Do you know anything about Hangar 18?
I've never heard of alien lore? Hangar 18. No.
Okay. Well, other than it being like a pretty great Megadeth song. Hangar 18 is the whole thing when you hear about like an alien warehouse where there were like alien bodies were being experimented on.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of Hangar 18 before.
Maybe I'm just a weirdo that's been reading alien stories for
maybe
like
just because you watch like X-Files.
That's also very true. I do watch a lot of X-Files.
I did not watch X-Files.
So, Wright Field, now Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, outside of Dayton, Ohio. Many of the rumors surrounding Wright-Patt, as it's now known for short, involve what might have gone on inside a particular building known as Hangar 18. UFO enthusiasts believe the government hid physical evidence from their investigators, including flying saucer debris, extraterrestrial remains, and even captured aliens in this mysterious warehouse, specifically inside a sealed, highly guarded location dubbed the Blue Room. Any questions or concerns?
Why is it blue? Is it sad?
I would think it's very sad if aliens are being tortured in there.
I would call it the green room. Aliens green?
Or gray.
Or gray. There's four races, right?
I guess so.
Supposedly.
Does anybody out there know how many alien races there are in terms of like the extraterrestrials who come to Earth?
What do you call them? Alien enthusiasts on the internet have decided that there are four, have concluded through thorough investigation that there are four. And there's the grays, the greens, and two others that names aren't as catchy.
I've only heard of the grays and the greens.
Yeah, same.
But in addition to Fort Worth, many UFO researchers believe some of the materials from Roswell were also transported to Wright Field. So that's how Roswell connects to the Hangar 18 thing. So after, when the armored trucks came, that's where supposedly all that evidence went. They just took it over to Ohio.
Okay.
One Oliver Henderson reportedly told his wife that he flew a plane loaded with debris along with several small alien bodies from Roswell to Wright Field. According to the children of another pilot, World War II ace Marion Black Mac Magruder, their father claimed to have seen a living alien at Wright Field, yeah, a living one, in 1947, and told them that it was a shameful thing that the military destroyed this creature by conducting tests on it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, are they making it up?
Are you asking me what yeah. I think?
Like, what do you think? Do you think they're making that up?
No. Well, I think... So, oh God, my, like, alien knowledge is so scattered because it's so different, the different sources that you get. For one, also, my memory's horrible, and I watch, like, a lot of paranormal, like, TV and podcasts and stuff. But from my understanding, I think it was, have you ever heard of, it was called the Civilians Meeting on Disclosure, I think, and it took place in Canada because it was a bunch of, like, ex-military U.S. ex-military people who, like, came over there to talk about, to, like, disclose all this information that they had secret about aliens. And, yeah, it's wild. Like, just to listen to, like, these, like, old, like, 60, 70-year-old men who are just like, yeah, I was there. They fucking lied about A, B, C, D, and F about, like, to the public. And, so from what I heard, the guy that took pictures with the weather balloon, he said all those pictures were fake. He was like, because what I am surmising happened was an actual alien saucer fell in that field. And that's why the guy was like, there's a thing in my field. And then the military came. And that's why the next day, the local paper changed the story because they were forced to.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because the first day it came out, they were like, there's an alien UFO, like alien craft in this guy's yard. The military got their hands on it, realized that it was this thing. And then they made the farmer change the story. They made the news change the story. And then they took these fake pictures with a weather balloon to say it was a weather balloon.
Now, do you think it was like a threat to the guy's life?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That, or I'm sure there was probably, even if it wasn't to his life, like, you know, well, we'll take your land away.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was a threat, or they bribed him, or something to make him, you know, not talk about what actually happened.
Now, I thought this was interesting. Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona, the Republican nominee for president in 1964, was notoriously fascinated by UFOs and the Hangar 18 thing. Goldwater said publicly that he tried to gain access to the Blue Room in the early 60s, but he had been denied by a furious General Curtis LeMay. So he's like, I think there's some pretty sketchy stuff going on. Can I see? And they were like, absolutely not. If there was nothing to hide,
yeah.
Why would he have been denied access if he was somebody that high up in the government?
Well, I truly believe that the government is hiding information. The government, the U.S. government, has contact with alien species. People are going to say I'm a fucking nuts. I don't care.
I mean, we're going to make some tinfoil hats about it.
You got it. Because they can read your mind. It's just facts, guys. But but I don't think tinfoil helps. Because, come on. I mean, aliens haven't figured out to get through tinfoil. Like, if they can figure out how to read your mind, how is tinfoil going to save you? Shut up. but I don't think that the president has any information pertaining to aliens, because the president changes every 4 years or 4 to 8 years. Like, no way. Because who was president when Roswell happened? I don't know.
It's 1947.
Mm-hmm. President. Truman.
Okay. Right. Oh, well, yeah, it is Truman, because I bring him up later. We just haven't gotten there yet.
All right. You can continue.
Okay. Right. So, for its part, the Air Force has categorically denied the rumors. Of course, why would they admit that? And maintain that there has never...
What? I'll talk about that later. They've released videos recently, like in the past year or two.
That's what's up. Okay.
Have you seen them?
No, but wild. I want to. We might be sharing that with you, the listeners.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after you're done with this story.
Okay. So for its part, the Air Force categorically denied the rumors and maintains there has never actually been a Hangar 18 anywhere on Wright Pat, even though there is a Building 18. And this is after
Building a hangar?
I guess. So I guess it is Hangar 18. This is after a high-ranking military source saw the bodies of 12 alien beings while autopsies were being performed on them.
Oh my god.
And it's still being denied.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you still denying it?
So fast forward to 1994. The Air Force acknowledged that the weather balloon story in regards to Roswell was untrue, admitting it had been testing a surveillance device designed to fly over nuclear research sites in the Soviet Union. Project Mogul, it was a top secret atomic espionage project located at New Mexico's Alamogordo Airfield, using sturdy high-altitude balloons to carry low-frequency sound sensors into the tropopause, a faraway part of the Earth's atmosphere that acts as a sound channel. In this part of the atmosphere, sound waves can travel for thousands of miles without interference, a lot like what's under the ocean. The scientists believed that if they sent microphones into this sound channel, they would be able to eavesdrop on nuclear tests as far away as the Soviet Union. Remains of a 700-foot long string of neoprene balloons, radar reflectors for tracking, and sonic equipment. So that's supposedly now the story of what that wreckage is.
I'm bless allergic you. To bullshit.
Right? But my thing is, like, the earlier description, if that's really true, what was it, the thick paper
and they said it was neoprene? They said it was made of neoprene.
I'm not a balloon expert. I'm
neoprene
no
is like scuba suits are made of neoprene.
Yeah. So my thing is, if that original description was spot on, then this sounds way too advanced. At least as far as the sonic equipment is concerned. So I'm not really believing that. But this is what makes me laugh on top of that, is that now it was said that there were many dummy drops in New Mexico in the 50s, which were experiments meant to test the ways that pilots can survive falls from high altitudes. So bandage featureless dummies were dropping from the sky. So that's...
supposedly the corpses. Yeah. Right. Oh, shut up.
Doesn't that sound a bit too convenient?
That's... oh my god.
Okay. I got really excited at this point.
That makes me so angry that they think the American public is that stupid that we're gonna believe that, like, oh my god, that dummy is an alien. Like,
oh, well, coming up next, you're gonna be real amped just like I was. I found an NSA report directly from NSA.gov regarding the Roswell incident.
Yes. What did they want me to believe? Bullshit. Tell me their lies.
Research reveals that the Roswell incident was not even considered a UFO event until the 1979-1980 timeframe. Prior to that, the incident was dismissed because the Air Force originally identified the debris recovered as being a weather balloon. Subsequently, various authors wrote a number of books claiming that not only was debris from an alien spacecraft recovered, but also the bodies of the craft's alien occupants. Research located no records of existing Air Force offices that indicated any cover-up by the U.S. Air Force or any indication of such a recovery. What I find interesting, at existing Air Force offices, what if all the files were burned?
So they're trying to tell me that there was no cover-up?
Yes. NSA paperwork mentions Project Mogul, the thing I was talking about with the sonic equipment, mentions that books are written on Roswell incident in the 1980s, in addition to an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. And that episode of Unsolved Mysteries stirred up more interest in the conspiracy. And it's obvious from reading this report that the Air Force is very frustrated by the claims, to put it lightly. Like, I was just projecting, but the whole time I was reading this, I'm like, this guy is like snarky and upset that people think the Air Force has something to do with it all.
Of course they do. And of course they do.
And I'll link you to it, but it's really like the whole time the Air Force had nothing to do with it, and these claims are erroneous. And
their
story was
changing from like day to day. Their story was changing, and they were
and
like,
"How can
this,
they not
that.
Expect the people
and, like,
to question that?"
And how? Okay, like say, like they're trying to tell me that it was originally it was supposed to be a weather balloon, right? And then it was this other Project Mogul thing. Okay, like let's say that is true. Why are they sweeping the field? Like, wouldn't they know that it was this secret device and they would go get it? Why are they, like, sweeping the field? Why are they, like, changing every story in the news?
That's what I'm saying. And they wonder why conspiracy theories are abound when these things can't be answered.
It's not a cover-up. It's not a cover-up. It's not. Just trust
me. I will link you to it because it was a long document, but it was fascinating. So, if you're wondering how Roswell is doing today, the town is visited by tourists. There's a UFO museum and research center in which they're actually mailing me a free booklet.
What?
Because I contacted them about it. Like, hey, I'm doing a podcast about the Roswell incident. Could you send me information? And they said, yeah, what's your address? Oh, God, maybe I shouldn't have given them my address.
Wait, who did you give it to? The city of Roswell?
The UFO museum.
Oh, I'm sure they're fine. No, they're.
Do you think they're good? I hope
they're good. I'm. They're probably a tourist attraction. I don't think they're trying to like lie to you or track you.
I mean, admittedly, in the same sentence I have written here, it's like UFO museum and research center, a flying saucer inspired McDonald's.
Yes, my I used to work with this woman and. I like was like, oh, hey, where are you from? She was like, New Mexico. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I don't know anything about New Mexico. I didn't say anything else. And then like later, months after we were working together, I was talking to my other friend. I had watched a documentary about Roswell. So the next day I was like, oh my God, do you know about Roswell? You know, like we do. And I was telling my other friend about Roswell. And this coworker, this woman, she's like, yeah, I'm from Roswell. And I was like, oh my God, are you an alien? And she was like, yeah, that's why I don't tell people I'm from Roswell.
She's like, you annoying crazy. This is why I don't say anything.
I know. I was like, I'm sorry.
I totally would too.
I know. Well, apparently lots of people would because she's been asked that many times.
I'm sure it's really frustrating. I mean, we're not from anywhere special. Whenever people are like, where are you from? And I'm like, Waldorf. And they're like, what's a Waldorf? And I'm like, have you heard of Good Charlotte?
Yeah.
Every time. So I've explained Roswell and I've explained Hangar 18. Now this connects to something local. Dun, dun, dun.
What? DC?
Yes. Between 1947 and 1969, at the height of the Cold War, 12,618 UFO sightings were reported to Project Blue Book, a small top secret Air Force team whose mission was to scientifically investigate the incidents and determine whether any posed a national security threat.
Yeah.
Notable cases in the U.S. include Chicago, Illinois, Dayton, Ohio, White Mountains, New Hampshire, the Florida Everglades. That's weird. What do they want? Alligators?
Alligators. They want them gators.
Maury Island, Washington. Groom Lake, Nevada. Kelly, Kentucky. Mount Palomar, California. Skinwalker Ranch, Utah.
Skinwalker Ranch.
I know, that's creepy on its own. I want to investigate that later.
Why is it called that?
We'll learn one day.
Can't be good.
Where are we at next? Keweenaw Point, Michigan. You're a Michigan person. Do you know about that?
Keweenaw?
Yeah.
Keweenaw? No. Keweenaw? Why would I?
I don't know. Fargo, North Dakota. Flatwoods, hey. West Virginia. Lubbock, Texas. Montgomery, Alabama. And Washington, D.C. Over 700 of those 12,618 sightings investigated could not be identified.
Wait, that's... Out of 12... Wait, what was it? What were the other ones?
I'm assuming that the remainder that weren't those 700 were written off as like, oh, we found evidence that it was actually this other thing.
So this is a unidentified flying object task force. And
yes.
They would get reports and they explained away all the other ones, but they couldn't explain these 700.
Exactly. And this is like the government funded this.
Mm,
or the military.
I bet it wasn't the Air Force.
It was the Air Force.
Oh, well.
You're like, better not have been the Air Force.
Fucking Air Force.
So moving this over to DC, and I feel really ridiculous that I've been living in this area all my life and never heard, oh yeah, there was this one time that UFOs were flying over the White House.
Yeah, I saw a UFO once.
Where was it?
Southern Maryland.
Of course it was.
That's right.
What happened?
It was really not like anticlimactic, honestly. It's not a good story. But I was in an apartment at the time and I was on my porch and I was hanging out with a friend and we were like laying down on the porch looking up at the night sky. And I just saw, it looked like a star because it was the same size and shape as a star. And it was kind of cloudy and I could see stars around it, but I saw this one like little star shaped thing. It like zoomed past, but it was in an arc. Because at first I was like, shooting star, but it turned and like it went one direction and then turned around and came the other way. And then I like was just like shocked, like what I just saw. And I was just staring. I didn't say anything. And then I saw it do like come back and do like an S and then disappear behind a cloud. And then, whoa. I was like, oh my God, did you see that? And then my friend was like not even looking. And I was like, fuck.
Jeez.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I wish it was closer to me so I could have been like, it was shaped like this, but it was just like a light way far away. It was nothing. Yeah.
Wow. I wish I could say that I'd seen one. I haven't. I believe, but I've never seen one.
Hey, it's same thing like how I've never seen a ghost. You've never seen a UFO, but we both believe. I keep thinking I see orbs all the time, but no, there's bugs that live in your eyes, so. Probably just those.
We are never gonna bring that up again. That's some nightmare.
Bugs.
well,
I think they're
not...
just bacteria.
I mean,
they're bugs necessarily.
This is stupid, but like when I first found out that there were like living cultures in yogurt, I freaked out and didn't eat yogurt for like 3 years.
It's just yeast, right?
Well, yeah. Now I know that, but like
we have yeast inside of us.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to think about that either at the time. Just whenever people say that thing of like, you eat X amount of spiders a year, I'm just like, yikes, no thank you.
Whatever. Protein, right?
Yeah.
I get it.
Crunchy protein.
I can. But I did, by the way, about the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, they have a website. It's called citizenhearing.org.
Ooh.
Look it up. It's very interesting.
So 5 years after Roswell, this is July 1952, UFOs over the White House, Major American newspapers were reporting multiple credible sightings by civilian and military radar operators and pilots. So many that a special intelligence, the Project Blue Book we were talking about, they were involved in this. What they found or didn't find, along with the Air Force's official explanation, fueled some of the earliest alien conspiracy theories about a government plot to hide evidence of alien life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happened shortly before midnight. Have you ever flown out of Washington National, otherwise known as Reagan?
Oh, yeah.
So this happened there. There's an air traffic controller. His name was Edward Nugent. and he spotted 7 slow-moving objects on his radar screen, far from any known civilian or military flight paths. So what do you do when you see that? You call your supervisor, and you're like, yeah. Haha, probably flying saucers.
Is that what he did?
Yeah. But at
he's
the same-
like, LOL, hey manager, I see flying saucers. And he was like, ah!
LOL, Nugent, aliens, am I right? The Nuge, you're such a jokester.
The Nuge.
So at the same time, 2 more air traffic controllers at National spotted a strange bright light hovering in the distance. That suddenly zipped away at incredible speed.
Ooh.
Now, at the same time, at Andrews Air Force Base, which is like a skip away from Reagan, radar operators were getting the same unidentified blips, slow and clustered at first, then racing away at speeds exceeding 7,000 miles an hour. Looking out his tower window, one Andrews controller saw what he described as an orange ball of fire trailing a tail.
What?
A commercial pilot, cruising over the Virginia and D.C. area, reported 6 streaking bright lights, like falling stars without tails. When radar operators at National watched the objects buzz past the White House and the Capitol building, all those UFO LOLOL jokes stopped immediately. Because they're like, hey, this might be a matter of, like, national security.
Oh my god.
2 F-94 interceptor jets were scrambled, but each time they try to chase them down and approach those locations, the blips would disappear off the radar. By the next morning, they were gone.
Ew. Like, I have the chills. That's so creepy.
Yeah, but guess what? It happened the very next Saturday, again.
What? Like, exactly? Or?
Well, again, Rupelt found out through a phone call from a reporter. He immediately called on 2 Air Force colleagues to check out the situation at National. The same blips were back, and the radar operators wondered out loud if the dozen or so objects on their screens couldn't be caused by a temperature inversion.
Aw.
Yeah, which I was like, the fuck? You know how DC gets like really hot, muggy summers. Well, apparently,
disgusting.
Yeah, it's really awful. If you're not from here, like you really shouldn't come
Don't
here
go
in
there
summertime
ever.
Because it's like so sticky, it's hard to breathe.
Sticky and disgusting, and then it gets freezing as hell. It's a horrible place. Horrible place to live.
I'm moving next year. So, a temperature inversion, just to let the listeners know, is something that occurs when a layer of warm air forms in the lower atmosphere. It traps the cooler air beneath. Radar signals can bounce off that layer at shallow angles and mistakenly show near-ground objects as appearing in the sky. Rupelt's Air Force colleagues, however, were convinced that the objects on the radar screen weren't mirages, but solid aircraft. So to be safe, they send 2 more F-94 jets out to check it out. A game of high-speed whack-a-mole ensued, where the jets would race to a location targeted by radar, only for the blips to vanish again. Finally, one of the jet pilots caught sight of a bright light in the distance and gave chase. He said, "I tried to make contact with the bogies below 1,000 feet. I saw several bright lights. I was at maximum speed, but even then I had no closing speed. I ceased chasing them because I saw no chance of overtaking them. I see them now, and they're all around me. What should I do?" Are you creeped out?
I am creeped out. Aliens scare me more than anything else in the world. I don't know if you know that about me.
I know. That's why I'm excited.
I, like, literally have the chills. I can talk about ghosts all day and just be like, LOL, but once we start talking about aliens, I'm just like, no.
Now, remember, we were trying to figure out who the president was?
Uh-huh.
This is where Harry Truman comes in.
Oh.
So the next day, newspaper headlines across the nation screamed, "Saucer swarm over Capitol and jets chase D.C. sky ghost."
Oh, sky ghost. I hate that description.
That sounds like a badass band
sky
name
ghost.
To me. Like,
I bet they're ska.
You think they're ska?
Sky Ghosts?
Do some skank dances to the Sky Ghosts?
I bet they have, like, a bass line that's like, bow, 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 Sky Ghost. Yeah.
That sounds kind of like your impression of Aliens, so I'm down.
Exactly. Oh, we're going to start a ska band, but instead of singing, I'm just going to be like, it's going to be hot.
I'm about it. I'll play the trumpet. It'll be badass.
Yes.
So the publicity and public panic over the sightings were so insane that President Harry Truman himself asked his personal aides to get answers for him. When they called Ruppelt, he said that it could have been caused by a temperature inversion, but more investigation was needed to fully explain the radar images and credible eyewitness accounts.
How can that be a temperature inversion if a guy saw the lights and he was in a plane that...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know the DC summer could probably make people hallucinate a little bit if they're not hydrating enough, but to have that many witnesses corroborate that same story from different locations in the area.
Oh my God.
So before such an in-depth investigation could take place, the Air Force called a press conference, the longest such news event since World War II. The Air Force brass had decided, without consulting Ruppelt or the Project Blue Book team, that the best response to the sightings was to feed the press and the public an easy-to-swallow explanation.
Okay.
Of course, dodging specific questions about what pilots and radar operators had seen in the skies over the Capitol, Major General John Sanford came back again and again to the temperature inversion theory. It's not the weather!
Oh my God. It was the temperature. Temperature's weird.
Never mind that Ruppelt had since come to the opposite conclusion.
Temperature's weird. Aliens.
That's what he said.
Oh my God.
No, I'm just messing with you. The investigators had ruled out the inversion. They had examined the situation. The radar operator said, "Inversions happen. We know what inversions look like. This is not an inversion. This is not the same thing at all."
Yeah.
And you're talking about people whose job it is to monitor the skies, and they're used to that equipment, and they know what happens in the sky normally. So, to Ruppelt's disappointment, the Air Force's press conference worked exactly as planned. The papers reported that temperature inversion story, and the public believed it. Yeah, they were just like, okay, temperature, makes sense, it's hot, it's weird, you know, radar. God, no.
Americans are fucking stupid.
Still today. there's this 1956 book, The Report on UFOs, that Ruppelt wrote, and he reported that after the press conference, UFO sightings dropped from 50 a day to 10. So I guess that theory is that, like, once the public's minds were soothed about it, all of a sudden people stopped seeing stuff.
Oh, or the aliens didn't want to be outed, so they were, like, laying low.
Well, that's a theory. And skeptics weren't satisfied with that response, obviously. And what did they do? They accused the Air Force and Project Blue Book, saying that there's a lot of devious behavior and secret knowledge. It wasn't until Project Blue Book documents were made public in 1985 that UFO sleuths could see that the closest thing to a government cover-up of UFO sightings in the nation's capital was actually a conspiracy of ignorance.
What?
The Washington UFO flap perfectly illustrates the real government cover-up. It's not a situation where the authorities conspired to keep some terrible truth about UFOs from the people, but rather the government doing its best to keep the people from realizing that they didn't have all the answers.
I'm so confused.
So basically, it's not necessarily that the government covered up actual UFOs, but it's just that since they could explain it, they couldn't explain it. They didn't want to seem like they didn't know what was going on.
Well, so they won't admit. They don't want to admit that they didn't know what the things were.
Yeah, of course, because that's something that's a direct threat to the White House.
Right.
And if you want more on that, there's actually a show called Project Blue Book on History Channel, and there's a whole episode on that. Yeah.
The Washington, D.C. Flap.
The Flap. That's the a flap. Band. The Flap. Oh, man. I saw the Flap. They opened up for that one alien band that has a trumpet.
Sky Ghost?
Sky Ghost, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go see the Flap open for Sky Ghost. They're great.
So I looked up the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, right?
Oh,
they
yeah?
They have a website, citizenhearing.com, or .org. And we can get it for $50 to rent the whole thing and watch it.
Interesting.
It's long. And I don't know what it's all about, but I'm looking at like the chapters. There's Roswell Part 1, Roswell Part 2, South America Part 1. Truth embargo. I don't know what truth embargo is.
I guess we'll learn.
Nuclear tampering. Oh my god, I want to watch this so bad. Oh wait, the duration of the entire thing is 1 day and 6 hours. It's 30 hours long.
Oh my god, is it a Ken Burns documentary? Jeez. Yeah. That's a big investment. I mean, if hey, let's ask the listeners, do you really want us to invest in that? Because we'll do it.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll take a whole weekend and watch this entire thing.
And we will try to summarize it in a 2-hour episode for you.
Oh my god. I'm going to be shaking watching this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to spend the weekend at your house.
It's scary. The people that talk at it, they're like congressmen and senators. That's
people
like
close to the government.
They're legit.
That's wild.
But oh right, those three videos, what are they called? Hold up, edit this part out. I'm gonna Google it.
Now, while you're Googling though, but that was my whole spiel for this week is Roswell connects to Hangar 18, which connects to this insane flying saucers over the Capitol thing that I just didn't know about, and I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, I don't think the weather had shit to do with it. I'm pretty sure that it was actually aliens.
Well, if it was the weather, I feel like it would have happened every year around the same time, and it'd be these weird fluctuations that cause this weird anomaly. And they even said, like, we know this happens, and it causes weird stuff, and we know what that looks like. This is not it. Like, mm-hmm. This is something else.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, come on.
And those are the dudes that it's not like, oh, it's my first day on the job as an air traffic controller. Like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, this isn't cool. And it's not normal.
Like, hey, what the fuck is that?
I'm glad you're thoroughly creeped. I did my job this week.
I hate them. All right, it was on April 27, 2020, the U.S. Department of Defense issued a public statement authorizing the release of 3 UFO videos taken by Navy pilots. So, one, not the Air Force, because the Air Force are a bunch of fucking liars. This was the Navy.
So, are we making the broad generalization that all branches of the military are lying for sure?
Oh, I'm sure they are. But on this one specific thing about aliens, we know to never trust what the Air Force says.
Specifically.
Specifically that. So, they won't acknowledge the term UFO by releasing these. They clearly state the aerial phenomena observed in the videos remain characterized as quote unidentified end quote. So they won't use the term UFO, but they'll be like, it's in the air and it's unidentified. So come on.
Well, I feel like there's got to be a pretty short list as to what those kind of things can be.
Right.
Wild.
And they say, here, let's see, illusions. A conservative definition is intelligently controlled airborne objects not apparently made by humans, is what they will admit to.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but that the release of these three videos was made possible by Tom DeLonge of Blink-182.
I believe that. He's been on board with the alien things forever.
Well, he has a whole like organization about it, doesn't he?
I wouldn't be surprised.
don't remember what it's called. Calm, Galong, aliens. He says, oh, Jesus.
He says, oh, Jesus?
No, he says, and then I got a fucking ad that was like, donate a dollar to our website so we can give you this information.
What? They got a paywall?
Tom DeLonge said, quote, I wouldn't have left Blink-182 for something pie in the sky. So left Blink-182 because aliens.
Seriously?
That's what he says.
I thought he left because of like creative differences with the other guys in the band. Really? He was like, I feel a higher calling to discover alien life, so I'm quitting music forever.
He said, I would not have put music on the back burner to chase monsters and ghosts, but that research into this subject would change the world. So, yeah.
Wow.
He's, okay. So he doesn't believe in monsters and ghosts, specifically, he said, but aliens, he's all in.
Wow.
To each their own. But the three videos that were released, they're called FLIR 1, Gimbal, and Go Fast. And you should watch them. Everyone should watch them because they're wild. And you can hear like the pilots in like that are flying the planes because they're videos that are recorded out of airplanes in the sky of these like strange objects. And you can hear the pilots in the video that are just talking and they're just like, what is that thing? It's going way too fast. Like, what is happening? Like, they're freaking out.
Wow.
I know. Like, if you need any additional... Like, that has to be the end-all, be-all evidence that aliens exist. Like, come on.
That and just how, like, overconfident are you as a human to think that we are it?
Oh, I know.
In all the planets, all the galaxies out there, that there's not one other planet that can possibly occupy intelligent life.
Oh, yeah. And NASA has already... stated that the majority of universes, planets, and galaxies that are out there are older than us. We're one of the very, very new ones. And for just to think, like, our Earth created us in the short amount of time that it's had life on it. What has these other planets done that they are so much, they're like thousands of times older than our planet?
You know what I think it is we're not even capable of fully understanding.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Like, they're probably past the point of spoken language.
Right. Well, they're like, I mean, I don't understand anything about dimensions. I stupid. But, but my theory is that aliens exist on a different dimension as us. And they can, like, we can see them in glimpses sometimes here and there. But they have, like, complete control. And they can do whatever they want to us. And they do.
I hate that.
I know. Well, my, I think my fear of aliens comes from this movie called The Fourth Kind. Did you ever see that?
That movie scared the fuck out of me, actually.
I think I cried because I was so scared watching that movie.
I hate the whole split screen thing. It really messed up my head.
Oh, well, it's funny. We had talked about found footage movies on our last episode. So The Fourth Kind is, quote, a found footage movie, and it occurs, it's told through, it's supposedly a true story, but it's told through actors and reenactments. But when creepy things happen, like when a woman is like levitating in her bed, they do this split screen where on one side of the screen, it's the actor, and then on the other side, it is the found footage. And the entire time they marketed this movie, they said, this is a found footage movie. And it wasn't until like weeks after that I found out that the found footage was faked.
I don't even care if it's fake.
What? If it was real? Well, that's, I watched it and I was so convinced that it was real. I was so scared. I was like, how are they allowed to show this in a theater? And I was crying.
At a movie theater?
Yes.
Wow. No, I watched it at home and I was freaked out. Hell no.
So scary. And it's about this woman who, like, they are, it's like her and her kid. And they, like, are continuously being abducted by aliens, and then her kid goes missing. And she, well, I don't know if she's alive now, but she was still alive when the movie came out, maybe like, I don't know, like 10 years ago.
Maybe the aliens killed her.
Well, she was old by that point.
Maybe the aliens still killed her.
But it is a true story that her kid went missing in Alaska, and the kid was never found, never a body was ever found, and her story, she always stuck to the story that aliens took my kid, and they abducted us for a long time before that.
Yee.
I know.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that, like, I don't want to watch when I'm home by myself. And for days afterward, I'm like, you know when you get so scared that, like, you go from the bathroom to your bedroom and you have to, like, run from door to door while it's dark? Like,
yes. I mean, I don't usually pee when I'm sleeping. I usually don't have to get up. But I'll, like, wake up in the middle of the night and I'll have to, like, tell myself, I'm like, don't open your eyes. Don't open your eyes. Because I don't want to open my eyes and see something scary. So I just, like, keep my eyes closed and, like, readjust. And I'm like, don't open your eyes. Don't do it.
Yeah. Same.
I do that a lot. Yeah. Because cool. I'm just afraid of just, like, glancing up and seeing, like, something and being like, ah!
I can convince myself that I'm seeing, like, dark shadows in the hallways. Like, it's not even funny.
What? That's yeah. So scary.
It's probably all in my head. It's okay.
Yeah. So I have a story about an alien abduction that happened in New York, in Manhattan.
No, that's my happy place.
I think this story scares me more than any of the other ones, because the fourth kind happened in Alaska, like rural Alaska, and I can be comforted being like, I live in a city. Aliens won't come for me. I'm like so close to other people. They couldn't be secretive, right? Nope. This happened in an apartment building in Manhattan. Like,
no.
I know. And there's evidence for it.
No, so, I don't believe you.
I know. I hate this story so much.
You're the perfect person to tell it then.
I know. I already have the chills. I haven't even... So November 30th, 1989, Manhattan, New York. This woman, Linda Napolitano. Linda contacted a UFO researcher, Bud Hopkins, and she said, I was abducted from my apartment in Manhattan. And his first reaction was, that's crazy. You're probably like sleep paralysis. You're schizophrenic or something. And he was researching it. And her story, let me get to her. Let's see. She was 41 years at the time. And this was her description of what happened. She remembers saying, this is quote, I'm standing up on nothing, and they take me out all the way up, way above the building. Ooh, I hope I don't fall. The UFO opens up like a clam, and then I'm inside. I see benches similar to regular benches, and they're bringing me down a hallway. Doors open like sliding doors. Inside are all these lights and buttons and a big, long table. So her full recollection of what happened was she was sleeping in her apartment, in an apartment building, and she all of a sudden opened her eyes and she was looking up at a spacecraft and she was floating towards it. And she looks around and she realizes she's floating just parallel to this probably like 30-story apartment building. And that's what she sees inside. And then next thing she knows, she like sees all these things. Next thing she knows, she's back in her apartment building. That's when she contacted Bud, and Bud was like, you're crazy. That didn't happen. But he still was like in contact with her for a couple of years until someone else contacted Bud Hopkins.
Yeah.
It was like a year after the actual abduction, Hopkins received a letter from two men who claimed to have seen a woman floating, getting sucked up to a spacecraft outside of her apartment building.
What?
And they knew the night specifically because they were working as bodyguards for a United States statesman. I don't know what that is, but he was just an official. And they were working as bodyguards for this guy. And that's why they were up so late in their car. And they look over and they see a woman floating.
And they didn't, like, immediately try to report that to someone.
Well, who are they going to report it to? Like, they were working...
The alien, like, portion of the Air Force.
Who doesn't exist?
Project Blue Book.
This is in 1989.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I think they were probably way since disbanded. Wow. Yeah.
So them and this official, who was later identified as statesman Javier Perez de Celar, or Sayor, who was visiting Manhattan at the time of the abduction. The bodyguards claimed that the representative was visibly shaken. They watched the abduction. He was afraid to come forward because he was in this high position and he didn't want to be deemed as being insane, basically, is why they say. And so when they contacted Hopkins at first, they remained anonymous.
So to, like, save professional face, he was
right.
Like...
Yeah. Well, for you just to come out when you're, like, a working guy, official, like, high up in multiple governments, you know, you can't just be like, I saw a woman floating in Manhattan.
Then they're going to drug test you, and he's like, I don't know if I can pass.
Right. Well, the three men claimed that they saw a woman being floated through the air along with three small beings into a large flying craft.
Now, did they describe the craft to be the same as she described it? The clam-like?
Well, she didn't really get a good look at it because by the time she woke up, she was, like, very close to it. So she didn't get, to be able to see the whole shape of the craft.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then eventually after Bud Hopkins started kind of researching, because after he got those witness accounts, he was like, oh my God, this woman isn't crazy. And so he tried to reach out to other people, and he found other witnesses who also saw the exact same thing.
How many witnesses?
It doesn't say.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even matter, because if there's witnesses at all that are corroborating right. that without, like, necessarily hearing... all the details?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I know.
I never wanted to be afraid of New York, but...
That's what bothers that might me do more it. Than anything else, I think.
Because that's a place where, obviously, like, there's going to be witnesses all over the place, and if the aliens aren't afraid to snatch you from there...
Right!
Then where are you safe?
Exactly. Nowhere.
I really wish you never told me about that.
I know. Jeez. I wish I never heard of it.
So, hey, fans up in the northern New Jersey area / New York City, be afraid.
We should all be afraid at all times.
Yeah, we
of
should.
Aliens.
Not safe in DC. You're not safe in New York.
No. And if you, like, I just wish that everyone who ever saw an alien or a UFO would... like, come forward, you know? Because
yeah.
if there was just more information.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to ask yourself, like, what are they risking if they come forward?
Yeah, and I understand that. But if we, like, keep holding back the information, we're never going to, like, learn and actually have answers.
I would love to see, in our lifetime, actual proof and admittance. Like, globally.
Yes, me too.
But not in, like, a doomsday kind of way. Like, we all know it's happening because there's a giant spaceship, like, beaming a death ray toward us type of thing. But, like...
Well, we would like to know before that happens, you know?
Yes.
Like, when inevitably they come to kill us.
I'm being honest. Like, I think NASA knows stuff they're not talking about.
Who knows? And I can only really speak for, like, the American government.
Yeah.
I don't, there's a million, there's so many other governments in the world.
And I doubt, it's such a selfish thing to imagine, well, the aliens only want Americans. Like, Canada's got to know some stuff.
No.
All the countries in Europe have to know some stuff. I bet you in Africa and Australia and Asia, all over the place, there's got to be some version.
There was a flap over, I think it was Shanghai.
Really? What, was it around the time that you were in Shanghai?
No, not when I was in Shanghai.
Oh, well, that's something I could ask you. You lived in Japan for a hot minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you lived in Japan, did you ever hear any, like, legends about aliens?
No, but I was a kid.
That's true.
No.
Well, we don't know how all of you listeners feel about aliens, but if you want to talk to us about it, you can please hit us up. Yeah. Yeah. We do Facebook, and that's facebook.com/paranerdspodcast. On Instagram, we are at paranerdspodcast. Or if you want to drop us an email, that's cool too. That's paranerdspodcast@gmail.com.